Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope you're all having a wonderful day full of good fun and good company.
Merry Christmas.
You know, we're going to jump into something today that might seem a little out of place for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But we're going to be taking a deep dive into this idea of Texas seceding from the United States.
Wow. That's certainly a bold topic.
It is. And, you know, I know it might sound kind of crazy, especially on a day like today, right?
Right.
But there's this pamphlet. It's called Common Sense, published back in 2021.
Okay.
And it's dedicated to, quote, people of goodwill, end quote.
Interesting.
And it lays out all these reasons, economic, political, social, you name it,
yeah,
all these reasons why Texans might actually want to go their own way.
I see.
Now, look, we're not here to tell you whether secession is a good idea or a bad idea.
Right.
What we're going to do is we're going to explore the arguments that are laid out in this pamphlet. We're going to see what we can learn about American politics and culture by looking at this, you know, this really unique perspective.
It's definitely a fascinating lens to look through. And the pamphlet really starts by painting this picture of a deeply divided nation.
Yeah.
They even use the term two Americas.
I've heard that phrase before.
Yeah. And essentially, they're arguing that these two Americas have such different values and worldviews that they're almost like two separate countries already.
It does sometimes feel like we're living in two different realities these days, doesn't it?
Exactly. And they point to several examples to illustrate this divide. For instance, they talk about, on the left, there's a lot of concern about things like the January 6th insurrection, resistance to transgender acceptance, and the perceived lack of precautions during the pandemic.
Okay, so that's one side of the coin. What about the other?
Well, they highlight concerns about what they see as rapid cultural shifts. One specific example they give is, you know, a medical professor who apologized for using the phrase, when a woman is pregnant.
Mm.
They present that as an example of how quickly things are changing culturally.
Right, right.
And they also talk about things like concerns about reverse racism, the handling of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, and what they see as government overreach, particularly during the pandemic.
You know, it's funny. They even bring up the NFL playing two national anthems before games as like a symbolic representation of this split.
It's definitely a powerful image, right?
Absolutely. So they set up this idea of two diverging Americas, right?
Yeah.
But how do they connect that to the idea of Texas seceding? Like, how does that bridge the gap?
Well, their core argument is that restoring Texas to an independent republic, going it alone, as it were, would actually be beneficial for Texans.
Beneficial in what sense?
They believe that it would give them the freedom to pursue policies that are more in line with their values, their vision for how society should be run.
Okay, so essentially they're saying Texas can do better on its own.
Precisely. And they get very specific about this, outlining several key areas where they see U.S. federal policies as failing and proposing alternative solutions specifically for Texas.
Such as?
Well, for example, they're very critical of the Federal Reserve and its monetary policies.
I'm guessing they're not too fond of inflation.
Definitely not. They argue that the Fed's policies have led to massive inflation and created this dangerous dependence on easy money. Instead, they propose that Texas adopt a free market for money where citizens could use whatever currency they choose.
So like dollars, euros, gold, Bitcoin, the whole nine yards?
Exactly. They envision a system where people could choose the currency that they trust the most.
A free market for money. That's a pretty radical idea.
It is. And they apply similar logic to the issue of national debt. They're very critical of the ever-increasing U.S. federal debt.
Unsurprising.
They advocate for Texas to live within its means and even suggest that they could avoid having an income tax altogether.
I bet that would appeal to a lot of Texans.
You would think. But then they get into an issue that's actually a major concern for everyone, regardless of political affiliation, and that's the looming insolvency of Social Security and Medicare.
Those are the elephant, or maybe the longhorns, in the room.
You could say that. They point out the massive funding gaps and argue that these programs are on a path to disaster. As a solution, they propose a system of private savings and insurance for Texans, where individuals would be responsible for their own retirement and healthcare costs, with mandatory minimum contributions to ensure everyone is covered.
It's a very different approach than what we have now.
It is, but they argue it's a necessary shift to avoid the looming crisis of the federal entitlement programs. They also take aim at the U.S. healthcare system and its notoriously high costs.
Right.
And they place the blame on government policies, things like the tax deductibility of employer-provided health insurance and FDA regulations.
Okay, so what would their solution look like? Like, what would healthcare in Texas look like?
Well, they propose a system where individuals buy their own health insurance, and they argue that this would foster competition and lead to lower prices. They also suggest that Texas refrain from creating its own equivalent of the FDA, believing that this would further reduce drug prices.
It's a very market-driven approach, for sure.
It is. Their libertarian philosophy really comes through in their views on other areas as well,
right,
like the military. For instance, they're very critical of U.S. military spending.
What are their specific critiques?
They point to the vast network of foreign bases, the numerous interventions that they believe have led to these humiliating defeats. They specifically cite the withdrawal from Afghanistan as a prime example.
So are they saying that Texas should beef up its own military instead? Become like a heavily armed state?
Not quite. They actually propose a non-interventionist foreign policy for Texas, focusing on defense rather than engaging in foreign adventures.
Interesting. So they're advocating for leading by example, not by force. What about other hot-button issues? Like, where do they stand on climate change?
Well, they're critical of the Paris Climate Agreement. They argue that it's based on overly pessimistic assumptions about the social cost of carbon. They also say it would do more harm than good.
So are they climate change deniers then?
Not necessarily. They acknowledge that climate change is happening, but they believe the best approach is to focus on practical solutions and technological innovation.
Instead of
government mandates like those in the Paris Agreement.
So a more market-driven approach there as well.
Yeah.
Okay, last one, drugs. That's always a controversial topic. What's their take?
Yeah, it is. And their take as well, it's pretty bold. They're critical of the high incarceration rate in the U.S., particularly for nonviolent drug offenses. Their solution is full drug legalization in Texas.
Wow. Full legalization, not just like decriminalization or something like that.
Full legalization. They argue that this would reduce crime, undermine the power of the Mexican cartels, and just be a more humane approach to drug use.
But certainly a radical departure from current U.S. policy.
It is. And finally, they round out their vision for Texas by addressing education.
Wait on me.
Yeah.
What are their thoughts on education?
Well, they focus on two key issues. First, rising college tuition costs.
Sure.
And then second, what they see as the negative influence of certain ideologies on campuses. They actually mention things like Title IX and transgender inclusion in sports as examples of these ideologies.
I see.
And their solution, remove federal subsidies for higher education in Texas and let market forces determine tuition costs.
That would be a pretty seismic shift in how we fund education.
It would be. But again, it aligns with their overall vision of a smaller, less intrusive government in Texas. So you can see they've laid out this pretty comprehensive critique of the U.S. system and their own unique vision for an independent Texas.
It's a bold vision, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But it begs the question, why would the rest of the country just let Texas go? What's in it for them?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. The pamphlet actually makes a case for why other states should support Texas secession, even if they don't necessarily agree with the political leanings of those who might move there.
I'm all ears. Tell me more.
They start by appealing to this idea of consistency, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of hypocritical to say you support democracy, but then deny Texans the right to self-determination, you know, if that's what they choose.
I mean, that's a pretty compelling point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for a country that really prides itself on democracy.
Exactly. And then they go on to suggest that letting Texas go might actually have some public health benefits for the rest of the country.
Oh, like how so?
Well, their argument is that if you concentrate the unvaccinated population in Texas, it could actually help slow down the spread of future pandemics and maybe even prevent the development of these like vaccine-resistant strains in other states.
Hmm. That's an interesting idea.
It is. It's definitely thought-provoking. And they also get into some pretty interesting political strategy. They suggest that if you let people who are really opposed to these like progressive policies move to Texas, it would actually become easier to pass those policies in the states that remain.
So it's almost like a strategic retreat for both sides.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, they argue that secession could actually help to reduce the potential for violence between these two sides of the cultural divide.
So the idea is that separation could lead to less conflict.
Right. Now, of course, I mean, we're probably thinking like, okay, all of this sounds interesting, but wouldn't there be like a ton of legal hurdles to overcome?
I mean, that was definitely one of my first thoughts. Yeah.
Right. And to their credit, the pamphlet actually does address those concerns head on.
So they knew they were going to get some pushback on the whole legality thing.
Oh, for sure. They get into some pretty deep legal and historical arguments surrounding secession. They even go back to, like, the original circumstances of how Texas joined the Union in the first place. And their main argument is that states' rights have really been eroded over time, and that the modern federal government a lot of times just disregards constitutional limits altogether.
Do they give any, like, concrete examples to back up that claim?
They do. For example, they compare the debate over the constitutionality of building the interstate highway system back in the Eisenhower era to Nancy Pelosi's response when she was questioned about the constitutionality of the individual mandate in the Affordable Care Act.
I see. And what was the difference?
Well, they basically point out that back in Eisenhower's time, there was this big national debate about whether or not the federal government even had the authority to build a national highway system.
Okay.
But when Pelosi was asked about the individual mandate, her response was very dismissive. You know, almost like the idea that there would even be a question about the constitutionality of it was absurd.
So they're suggesting that there's been this shift in how the federal government views its own power.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't stop there. They go on to highlight instances of what they consider to be outright criminal behavior by the federal government.
Like what?
For example, they bring up James Clapper's false testimony to Congress about, you know, the NSA's data collection programs.
Mm-hmm.
And they also talk about the Obama administration's so-called kill list, the list of individuals who were targeted for drone strikes without any kind of judicial oversight.
Yeah.
They use these examples to argue that the federal government has already strayed so far from its constitutional boundaries that secession is basically justified.
They're not pulling any punches.
Nope. They're really going for it. And of course, they also address the big elephant, or should we say longhorn, in the room. The one historical event that always comes up when you talk about secession.
The Civil War.
Right. And they acknowledge the historical link between secession and slavery. But they argue that secession itself, like the concept of secession, is really just a neutral mechanism. You know, it's a way to achieve political independence. Mm-hmm. They compare it to things like the American Revolution and, you know, other modern secessionist movements around the world.
So their point is that secession itself isn't inherently good or bad. It's how it's used.
Exactly. They're saying it's just a tool. Mm-hmm. And they really emphasize that a peaceful secession is possible, you know, especially if Texans respect the rights of those who choose to stay part of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And if the U.S. government doesn't do anything, like, you know, try to use military force to stop it.
Okay. But let's say, you know, hypothetically, Texas does secede peacefully. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't they be, like, super vulnerable to invasion from other countries?
It's a valid concern, and the pamphlet addresses that too. They argue that Texas has more than enough strength and resources to defend itself. They point to its economy, which they actually claim would be the ninth largest in the world if Texas were its own country. And they also talk about, you know, Texas's long tradition of having an armed citizenry.
Right.
They even use that that famous line about a rifle behind every blade of grass to illustrate their point.
So they're pretty confident that Texas could hold its own.
They are. But then the question becomes, like, why Texas? Why not other states? And they address that, too.
Okay, I'm curious. What's their answer?
Well, they argue that Texas has a particularly strong case for secession because of its unique history, its size, and its distinct cultural identity. They even suggest that, you know, if Trump had won the 2020 election, this pamphlet might have been aimed at Californians instead.
An interesting thought experiment.
Right. And they also acknowledge that even if Texas secedes, there are still going to be people in other states who are sympathetic to their cause, you know, people who share their values.
Right.
And they address that concern by arguing that a successful, independent Texas, you know, one that operates under these principles of limited government, could actually act as a kind of check on government overreach in the rest of the country.
Interesting.
And they even suggest that its thriving economy could be like a safety net for those who are struggling in other states if, like, you know, the U.S. economy collapses or something.
So they see Texas as kind of a model, a potential model for others to follow.
Right. And then they get into some more, you know, practical nitty-gritty concerns.
Such as?
Well, for example, they address the challenge of immigration from Mexico.
Okay. That's definitely a big one.
And they suggest that the U.S. could just shift its focus to Texas's borders with other states, right? Since Texas would no longer be part of the country.
I mean, that makes sense, geographically speaking.
Right. And they argue that if Texas is successful, You know, if it creates this prosperous republic, it's actually going to attract more immigrants than it loses to the U.S.
I see. What about, like, social programs? Like, what happens to Texans who've paid into Social Security and Medicare?
Yeah, they address that, too. They suggest that you could just apply the existing rules for, you know, U.S. citizens who live abroad to Texas residents. And they also point out that, you know, under their proposed healthcare system, costs would be so much lower in Texas that, you know, maybe losing Medicare wouldn't be as big of a deal.
Okay, that makes sense. What about the national debt? Would Texas just walk away from its share of that?
Well, they actually argue that Texans shouldn't be obligated to pay any of the national debt.
Oh, wow.
They compare it to, like, shareholders in a bankrupt corporation. You know, shareholders have limited liability. They're not personally responsible for the corporation's debts.
Right.
And they also point out that, you know, honestly, the U.S. government is probably going to default on its debt anyway.
Whether Texas secedes or not.
Yeah, exactly. Either through inflation or by, you know, having to cut back on Social Security and Medicare benefits.
So they're basically saying it's a moot point.
That's their perspective. And then, of course, there's the whole question of, you know, what happens to all the federal property that's located in Texas? You know, like military bases and government buildings and all that.
Right, right.
And they acknowledge that, legally speaking, you know, that property would still belong to the U.S. government. But they suggest that Texas could negotiate with the U.S. to, like, you know, get the military to withdraw its forces and basically have this peaceful transition of power.
So they're envisioning a scenario where things could be worked out, you know, relatively amicably.
Yeah, ideally. But they also address this other concern, which is that, you know, some people might see secession as basically surrendering the U.S. to the progressive left.
I could see that argument.
Right. And they counter that by saying that, in their view, the progressive left has already won. Mm. You know, they basically see secession as a strategic retreat for those who still believe in, like, you know, traditional American values, a way to preserve those values in a new nation.
So they're not saying they're giving up on America.
No, they're just saying they need to find a different way to protect the things they believe in.
I see. It's interesting because they even address this, like, emotional aspect of leaving America.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that a lot of Texans, I'm sure, feel this deep connection to the country.
They do. And their argument is that Texans would still be, you know, culturally American, even if they have a different government. And they even go so far as to say that an independent Texas could actually become a new symbol of liberty for the world. You know, like a beacon of freedom that kind of carries on the torch of American ideals, even as they believe the U.S. is abandoning those ideals.
The powerful image.
It is. And they really want to emphasize that they're not doing this to destroy America.
Okay.
They're trying to save it by creating this new nation that embodies the values they hold dear.
So not anti-American, just a different vision for what America could be.
Exactly. So that's their pitch. They lay out their vision, they address all the concerns, and they make their case for why they believe Texas secession would not only benefit Texans, but potentially everyone.
It's a compelling case. But, you know, the question is, could it actually work? Could this vision actually become reality? I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Could it actually work? Like, they've laid out this vision. It sounds great on paper, but in the real world, you know, things are messy.
Absolutely. It's important to remember that, I mean, even if the arguments are compelling, translating that into reality, that's a whole other challenge. Secession would be a massive undertaking, huge,
right,
with all sorts of potential consequences, both good and bad.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, for the sake of argument, let's imagine the best case scenario.
Right.
What would a successful and, like, completely peaceful secession even look like?
Well, in that best case scenario, Texas manages to overcome all the legal challenges, all the political opposition, and they negotiate this smooth transition with the U.S. government. They create this new republic with a functional government, a thriving economy. Texas becomes, you know, kind of a magnet for businesses and individuals who are looking for lower taxes, fewer regulations, a place where, you know, innovation flourishes, personal liberty is paramount.
It sounds kind of like a libertarian paradise.
It does, doesn't it? But even in this, like, super optimistic scenario, there would be challenges. I mean, Texas would be under immense pressure from the U.S. government, you know, to align with its policies. And that pressure could take many forms, right? Trade deals, economic sanctions, maybe even military threats.
So even if they secede, the fight's not over.
Yeah.
It just takes a different shape.
Exactly. And then internally, Texas would have to manage the expectations of its own citizens. I mean, not everyone's going to be on board with the new government or its policies. There's bound to be resistance from those who oppose secession in the first place or who feel like their rights are being infringed upon.
Right. So keeping everyone happy and maintaining stability would be a huge challenge.
Huge. I mean, it would require strong leadership, a unified citizenry, and probably, you know, a healthy dose of luck as well.
Okay. So that's the, like, the rose-colored glasses version, right? What's a more realistic or maybe even pessimistic scenario?
Well, one possibility is that secession is just really messy and really drawn out. You know, like, imagine Texas facing strong opposition from the U.S. government, leading to this, like, years-long legal battle. The U.S. could impose economic sanctions that cripple the Texas economy, and the threat of military intervention would always be there, looming in the background.
So basically a period of just constant uncertainty and instability.
Exactly. And internally, the divisions within Texas could deepen, right? Mm-hmm. You could see political instability, social unrest, maybe even violence. And that vision of this, like, shining city on a hill, this beacon of liberty, could very quickly turn into a divided and struggling nation, you know, mired in conflict and uncertainty.
And then there's a worst case scenario, the one we don't even want to think about. Violent secession.
Yeah, that's the nightmare scenario. The U.S. government refuses to recognize Texas's independence and sends in troops to put down the rebellion. Armed conflict breaks out with Texans fighting against other Americans. You know, cities get destroyed, lives are lost, and the whole state descends into this bloody civil war.
It's a terrifying thought. I mean, it really makes you realize just how high the stakes are when you're talking about something like secession.
Absolutely. It's a gamble, a huge gamble. And the potential costs are enormous, not just for Texas, but for the entire country.
So, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive into Texas secession, it's clear that it's a really complicated issue, full of these, like, what ifs and potential consequences that are really hard to predict.
It is. And I think, you know, whether you agree with the idea of secession or not, this pamphlet really forces us to confront some, like, really fundamental questions about America.
Yeah, like, what does it even mean to be American? What are the values that we as a nation are supposed to stand for? And are those values still relevant today?
Big questions, right. And they're questions that don't have easy answers. But, you know, maybe by exploring these ideas, by having these conversations, by trying to understand perspectives that are different from our own, maybe we can start to bridge some of the divides that seem to be pulling us apart.
I hope so. Well, this has definitely been a thought-provoking way to spend Christmas Day. A little unconventional, maybe, but definitely enlightening. Thanks for joining us. It's